ladies and gentlemen, live from the West Coast, it's time for Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Your inside look into combat sports.
Maynard and Edgar putting on a show.
Outstanding.
Wow.
And now, the host of the longest running fight show in radio and internet history.
It is all over. Just like that.
Pedro Fernandez.
I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass.
Damas y caballeros, bienvenidos, ladies and gentlemen, emanating, coming at you from the multi-million dollar sports byline headquarters in the city by the bay, San Francisco, California. Check it. This is Ring Talk. Often imitated, never duplicated, 37 plus years now. I'm knocking out all bums. Welcome to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. My name is Pedro Fernandez. I am your host, and I'm feeling quite modest today, of course. Myself, pretty good. Up there in age, watching those two old guys go at it last night in an exhibition. Of course, both guys in their 50s, talking about Mike Tyson and Roy Jones. And while I didn't watch it live, I watched it on YouTube because I wasn't giving them $49.90 buying not to fight, watch him and some internet troll from YouTube fight as far as knocking out. Oh, that was terrible, wasn't it? The NBA star, Nate Robbins, got knocked out. He was a slam dunk champion three or four different times, and he got slam dunked on TV. I mean, like, snoring, like to sleep, like you can count to 40, like Roy Jones back in the day getting knocked out. Speaking of Roy Jones, give him some props. He came looking fat as far as the weigh-in was concerned, 210 pounds. Of course, a 210-pound middleweight is a fat middleweight. I mean, that's what he was. He was a great middleweight at one point in time, of course, winning Olympic silver at 156 pounds, of course, striking gold first at 154, then 160, then 168, and 175. Of course, he captured the heavyweight championship, beating Johnny Luiz, who I called Auntie Luiz back in the day. Of course, beat Johnny Luiz, and that was a big, big move, no doubt about that. But then again, I always thought, and people say to me, man, how can you say this, but I thought there were Flintstone vitamins involved with that one. I just did. Roy just moved up in weight, and then Roy looked so good, and then the next fight looked so bad. So I'm trying to say maybe there were some Flintstone vitamins involved in that fight. Bottom line is, in this hour of Ring Talk Live Worldwide, I will bring you to the UK. We'll bring in one of Tyson Fury's guys from his training camp. We'll talk about Kenny Rainford. We'll hear from Ernie Shavers and Muhammad Ali and Howard Cosell as well. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Baby, but you knew that. Let this play. Of course, this was a tribute to Notorious B.I.G. after getting blown away. Puff Daddy and Sting put this together, I think, at the Grammys or something like that. But at the end of the day, of course, Puff Daddy was accused of being part of orchestrating the Notorious B.I.G. killing. If you look at some of those, like, Netflix specials, that kind of good stuff, who knows where the truth actually lays there. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Check it, your inside look at the world of boxing, MMA. You know, The Brits actually, Europe has got some heavyweights of note. Of course, we've got the 2012 Olympic gold medalist, the once beaten, got beat by Andy Ruiz. I mean, Andy Ruiz, bottom line is, talking about Anthony Joshua. Of course, one time we thought he was going to be a stud. We had David Price. He was another stud. Of course, Tyson Fury is the world linear world heavyweight champion right now. No doubt about that. I believe unbeaten in 28 fights. Of course, had that one draw with Deontay Wilder, very controversial. It came back and pasted Wilder in the rematch. Of course, Wilder talking about a third fight, but do we really need a third one? Anyway, another heavyweight starting to make a note, the 2016, I think, Olympic gold medalist. His name is Tony Yoka from France, 9-0, 7 KOs, had a decision win last night over journeyman Christian Hammer. Hammer drops to 25-7, but whether he's a guy to watch or not, we'll find out from my next guest. Of course, he comes to us from the UK. He is the one, the only, the incomparable Mr. Kenny Rayford. Kenny, how's life treating you, man?
No, not so bad, Pedro.
Not so bad. I mean, is COVID, you know, COVID's going crazy over here, and I told a friend of mine that they got together for Thanksgiving. I said, you know, according to my doctor, and I talked to my doctor at UCSF, if you got together for Thanksgiving with people that you didn't live with, this and that, you should probably quarantine for 14 days. Man, I am the most unpopular guy in the world right now.
Oh yeah. We got the same here. We're only coming out of lockdown, next Wednesday, our second lockdown. But it's it's a virus. It's a flu virus that's gone crazy. And it's, until they get an antidote for it, we're going to be in and out of lockdown like you wouldn't believe, you know?
Well, I know, but here's what's up. Here's what you got to realize. There's 30% of this country here doesn't believe it even exists. I mean, I'm telling you, man, we have a certain amount of people, mainly, right wing types in this country, but we've got some actual people of Latino descent and some blacks as well that think that this COVID virus is a hoax. And yet people are dying left and right around them. How do you convince somebody of something that's so obvious? Kenny, can you tell me that?
Well, you're talking to someone who's had it. I had it. I caused it at the end of August, the August bank holiday. I caused it. I was in a right mess for 8 days. If I hadn't have been as fit as I was for my age, perhaps would have got me somewhat worse. But Pedro, I went to four funerals in 2 weeks from family members and friends with the COVID disease. You know, it strikes you. And within minutes, hours, you can be high and then you can be as low as the floor, you know? It really takes a hold of you like you wouldn't believe. And people who don't believe in it, you know, they need to go and, you know, they need to go and get a brain cell because it's very, very real. The figures are there.
The president doesn't believe in it. He supposedly had it. This guy that's about to get booted out of the White House, he supposedly had it, which I sort of find a little funny, but he supposedly had it, and he's telling people to get together for Thanksgiving, don't worry about it, this and that, and every other scientist in the world is saying, don't get together for Thanksgiving. So you have these people, 30% of the, probably 30% of my listeners, believe the president. You know what I'm saying? And he's speaking in one direction. Imagine if we had a leader here in the United States that came out and said, you know what? It isn't a crime to wear a mask. Let's all wear a mask for a few months until we can get this virus taken care of. Can we all get together on that? You know what I'm saying? Instead of starting diversity in a war. But, you know, that's what we have in the United States, man. 30% of the people here will not wear masks.
Probably the same here, Pedro. You know, same here. You know, you get the fools walking around without a mask on. They think they're big. They think they're larger than life. And, you know, it's crazy. I don't know what ticks in their head at all, you know?
You know, Kenny, I lived through the AIDS crisis here in San Francisco when I was a single guy at the time. So what I did was I grabbed my girlfriend and I made sure I didn't fool around. So, I mean, you could avoid AIDS by not dropping your pants. You know what I'm saying? I mean, there was a way to avoid AIDS. With something that's floating in the air, you really can't avoid it, per se. And I try to tell people that, you know, and some friends of mine got together for Thanksgiving, and now they won't even return my phone calls.
Yeah, well, you know, there you go. Some people have got it, and some people haven't.
Okay, let's talk about the heavyweights. What's Tyson Fury doing? He's training right now?
No, the camp stopped. He's a bit upset because he's supposed to fight this kid, this European champion, Cabello, the one who fought, who beat up on Chisora not so long ago.
Uh-huh.
And the money deal fell through from the TVs and stuff. They weren't offering enough money. So he's a bit upset at the moment because, you know, he should have been getting this fight. And it's all fell apart. Wilder's kicked off again, as you probably know, about the rematch. And it's a whole mess. The guy just wants to get in the ring again. Defend his title, his sponsors want, you know, some airtime. And unfortunately it's fell through and, you know, he's not happy at the minute, you know, so Frank Warren and the TV companies are going to have to come together and formulate a plan quick to get him out of there because he's just been in a pretty long training camp and he's been working hard and for it all to just end in a day's notice he's obviously upset, you know.
How long was he in camp?
He's been in camp for weeks. He's probably been in camp close to 2 months, you know.
You know what? At least he didn't find out the way I used to find out in the amateurs. You know, I used to find out in the amateurs when I got to the weigh-in and I looked across.
You know what? I used to get to the weigh-in myself and then wait to be I'd almost be getting ready to get gloved up and then they'd tell me.
He didn't show up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. What do you mean he's not here? I remember starving. I remember for this guy, Bill Hernandez. It was supposed to be Hernandez versus Fernandez at the Racist Olympic Club. And I think he had a golden glove or he had some regional title from Northern California, from Sacramento. And I was ready to rumble with him. So I went there and I was willing to fight in this racist club. It was absolutely no doubt about it. It was a racist club. So I was willing to fight there to fight him. And he didn't show up. And I was, you know, and I sweat down to 139, Kenny. You know what it's like to go down there and wait and these guys don't show up, man. That's the most frustrating thing in the entire world. So Tyson Fury's was ready to rock. He'd been in camp a few weeks. I thought Bob Arum was calling his shots.
Well, he's got Bob Arum, and he's got obviously the TV networks, and he's also got Frank Warren as well. You know, Frank Warren's went along with Bob Arum. Obviously Bob Arum's had some issues with Crawford and stuff of late, so maybe he's been sidelined with stuff. I don't know, but I think what it was, I think the opponent just didn't, you know, set the world on fire with the TV companies, you know. So I don't know, you know, we'll find out this week what's happening with him, and we'll be sure to let you know for 1,000,000% exactly what way he's going, because he needs to get active now. You know, he needs to get, you know, he needs to get some rounds under him.
Okay. So switch gears just for a second to Deontay Wilder. The mask was too heavy. He got tired because they put Valiums in his water. Mark Breland put water in his put Valiums muscle relaxers in his water. He was drugged. I mean, he's idiot, buffoon. What word fits idiot? What word applies to Deontay Wilder? Idiot, buffoon, clown. Which one? All of the above?
I think probably all of them. But you know what the guy did? The guy did the cardinal sin, the sin that they all do these days when you're heavyweight. Try and become bigger. Deontay Wilder relies on speed. That power is generated by speed. He went and packed himself, I don't know, what was it, 20, 30 pounds heavier? What is he? How can you train hard, Pedro, and put 20, 30 pounds on? Like Andy Ruiz. You know, it was the same thing. Although Deontay Wilder looked the part, he was glugged down with that 20, 30 pound he put on to be a big heavyweight. He was already a big heavyweight. He was like a Jeff Merritt style heavyweight. He needs agility, and he needs agility, and he needs speed. He does need to be weighted down with his own weight, let alone the size of Tyson Fury mauling all over him. You know, he was his own worst enemy. He just didn't train as he should have trained, and that's it. He's got himself to blame. That's why he gassed out.
Yeah, speaking of gassing out, Daniel Dubois gassed out against Joe Joyce. What was going on there? I mean, come on. He was gassed out by the second round.
I think he was gassed out after the first 15 seconds, wasn't he? Whoa. It's crazy. These guys are all trying to become big. They look like bodybuilders, not fighters. But, you know, the thing was, a friend of mine tipped Joyce to win. I'll be honest with you, I thought Dubois was going to win it.
Me too.
Neither one of them is going to set the world on fire. Let's be honest with you. You know, all credit to him. You know, Dubois was gassed out. He come unstuck. He can't even slip a left jab.
You know, Kenny, we're going to go to a break, but I'm laughing because one time I was gassed out so bad, I looked like I was having an asthma attack. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Back with the UK's Kenny Rainford after the break.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
But I want to start getting paid. I want to start making heavyweight money.
Welcome back to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You're inside looking at the world of boxing and MMA. Hour number two of the Sunday edition, 26 minutes past the hour. We are talking with our ace from across the pond. I'm talking about Mr. Kenny Rainford. And Kenny, of course, Anthony Joshua is going to take on Kubrat Pulev. Can Pulev pull the trigger here at all, seeing Joshua showing he has a propensity maybe to get knocked out?
He probably. I'm going with Joshua on that one. I think Joshua is just. I think he's learned some valuable lessons from the Ruiz situation. But I think he'll be able to manage it with him.
You know, Hector Martinez, who managed Roberto Duran at one point in time, is a two-time amateur Golden Glove champion. He said that the reason why that he lost to Ruiz, Anthony Joshua, is that he brought his chin into Ruiz's punching range without just total disregard. He didn't think that Andy could punch. Of course, Andy ended up knocking him out. So he's sort of doing that safety first type of thing. I don't really want to see a safety first type of fighter fighting at 6'7". I mean, the Klitschkos, they were sort of bruisers at first, and then they turned into to, you know, boxers per se, and they got a little boring, and their legacy is going to, their legacy, of course, as far as all-time greats concerned, is going to probably be a little bit tarnished because of that.
Yeah, yeah, but let's not get carried away with Joshua as an all-time great. He's far from it. You know, he's got a lot of flaws, an awful lot of flaws, his chin being one, his mobility. I mean, don't forget Klitschko almost knocked him out as well.
Yeah. Okay. Here's a knockout that took place earlier in the year. Wow. Alexander Povetkin snuck that uppercut in against Dillian White. Was that boxing at its best as far as pure beauty was concerned or what?
Oh, just great, wasn't it? Great to see.
Oh.
Great.
And Dillian White, and there's another guy that put on 25 or 30 pounds. What's going on with his weight thing? What happened there?
I think the training and all-you-can-eat buffets, myself. I mean, these guys, he was supposed to have gone away to Lanzarote, which is a Canary Isle, about 2 hours, 4 hours flight from the UK. And he was supposed to have got a training camp up there. There's no way he's been training hard up there. He's been eating hard and partying hard, maybe, but he certainly won't have been training hard. The weight he's coming in, it's a joke.
Okay, so Povetkin and him rumble again, and of course the promoters want to get this rematch going. It was postponed, I believe. Povetkin tested positive for COVID. When they do rumble again, do we see the same thing? In other words, do we see Dillian White opening up an early lead, slapping a Povetkin, and then him eventually sneaking in the knockout punch? Because that wasn't, how can I put this? That wasn't a lucky shot there. The way he positioned himself and bobbed to that one side and moved to the other and faint, I mean, that was well planned.
Correct. And do you know what we're going to get a rerun of? Everyone's anticipating an exciting fight. For me, we're going to get a rerun of Ruiz Joshua 2.
Yeah, okay. All right, let's change, switch gears. Let's talk lightweights for a second. Teofimo Lopez. Are people on that side of the pond excited about the new lightweight champion?
Yeah, definitely.
I thought maybe I'd get a little bit more out of you than that. Of course, he came off that, he beat Lomachenko. Lomachenko like undefeated in like almost four and something fights if you count his pro and his amateur careers put together. He had a 7-round lead, I thought, going into the 8th round. He won the first 7 rounds. And then people were like upset about some of the scores afterwards. Why were people screaming about the scores? Because they were too one-sided?
Probably, yeah. And also, it's just the age-old thing as well. Then they try and tarnish a win by the opponent claiming they had shoulder injuries, this injury, that injury. It's beggars belief.
Okay, I'm about to dump on a guy that I've been real high on in the past. Oleg Usyk. He didn't look that good against Derek Chisora. Talk to me about that.
No, he didn't, because you got to remember he's coming from cruiserweight. What was that, his second heavyweight fight? The guy's not a puncher. He's never going to develop like when Holyfield came from cruiserweight, light heavyweight, then cruiserweight, and then he came to heavyweight. Mm-hmm. You know, he took on real good fighters, didn't he? They weren't at their best, but they were good fighters. James Tillis, he had that war with Michael Doakes. So in those few early fights, you could see that Holyfield was going to mold into the heavyweight picture. With Usyk, I don't think so. I don't think he's going to make it as a heavyweight at all.
Okay, what about Tony Yoka, the kid from France that won the Olympic gold medalist, 6'7", 2016 Olympic gold medalist, won a decision, I believe, this week over Christian Hammer. Hammer falls to 25-7. Has he got any goods?
Possibly. Time will tell. We see how he comes on when he starts stepping up the opposition and stuff, you know. It's, like you say, there's no one really out there that excites me like they should do. I mean, just stepping back to the Dubois fight, the work rate was ridiculously slow. I was watching the TV imagining Dubois being pasted in the face by a jab by Sonny Liston or Larry Holmes, and you just think to yourself, oh, it makes you cringe with the what would happen. And then you look at Joyce.
And he
meets you with his head in his chest, just banging him and banging him and banging him. And that brings reality home to me that these heavyweights are just not anywhere near the level of what we've seen in the past.
You know, I was saying a few weeks ago, I was thinking about coming out of retirement at senior citizen age and at 140 pounds and fighting Joe Joyce. That's how bad Joe Joyce looked in that last fight. So then yesterday, I mean, it's not that he looked fantastic or something like that. It's just Dubois just, he gassed, what did you say, 15 seconds? He gassed so early. What, I mean, do these guys run?
I don't think so. I think they run to the nearest Burger King or McDonald's or whatever it is they're eating. But, you bang on. And you know who made, I know we're going to step back into a fighter who fought the other night in the exhibition. Mm. Roy Jones was interviewed on TV. Mm. And I know, I have been in camps with Roy Jones, so I know exactly what Roy Jones is about. And he says, we've lost grip with technique and fitness. You know, these trainers now want to put a guy in front of a heavy bag and punch you 200 times in a straight line. When are you going to get an opponent in front of you that you can punch with 200 straight punches? Okay, that's stamina and that's conditioning. But what about the technique? What about throwing a double jab right hand, left up to the body, left up to the head? These trainers don't seem to be spending an awful lot of time doing that. So that's, you know, that's another reason why these fighters are gassing out, not looking the part. They've got no technique.
Okay. Couple of minutes left with Kenny Rainford, of course, our UK ace. Kenny, Caleb Plant, and Canelo Alvarez. What's going to happen there?
I don't know. I'm hanging on the fence on that one.
Well, I mean, does Plant have the tools to beat him?
I'd say no, but I've been proven wrong lately, so I was frightened to say.
I really thought Dubois was going to roll over Joyce. You know that?
Well, I did as well. I thought he was, but, you know, a friend of mine told me, bet all the money on Joyce. Joyce is going to beat him. He's got his number. He's awkward as hell, and he ain't going to eat. You know, Dubois needs to go back and learn not only to be fit, but he needs to learn to slip a jab. I don't think he slipped one jab all night.
Okay. Billy Joe Saunders and Martin Murray, the fourth coming up. Billy Joe from across the pond there, former WBO 160-pound champion, now fighting at 168. Has Martin got a shot here?
No. No? I don't think so at all. No.
Okay. Well, no. He doesn't like that. What about Errol Spence and Danny Garcia? Now, Errol Spence got tossed out of that car at 150 miles an hour. If ever there was a guy that could be damaged goods, it could be Errol Spence. Does Danny Garcia have a shot?
Say so.
How much of a shot?
I don't know, maybe 60-40.
Are you trying to say you would throw money on Garcia here?
I'd be tempted to. I really would be tempted to.
You know, I mean, I saw the neurological damage to Errol Spence in his eyes, both of that blood in his eyes after that mugshot, of course, the DUI mugshot, but he got thrown out of a car at 150 miles an hour. I just don't know how well a guy's going to recover from that, especially when you start hitting him in his eye.
Exactly, exactly. And as you know, the body's a very complex, very complex thing. I mean, you know, I don't think, looking back on, I know we're sticking with heavyweights because it's the main four, but I don't think Tex Cobb's chin or his ability to take a shot was ever the same after fighting Larry Holmes.
No. But you know what? One friend of mine said the fact that he was so drunk when he got tossed out of that car that his body really had no control, that actually might have helped him.
Yeah, I can believe that. But what's he doing getting drunk?
Yeah. Anyway, and get this, he had a $10,000 handgun in his car.
Nice.
I know. It shows you what kind of class Errol Spence has. Anyway, you have a whole lot of cast. I love it when you spend some time with us. I know it takes you away from your family, Kenny. Say hello to the family, the kids, all that kind of good stuff for me. And I look forward to talking to you real soon.
Me too. Look forward to it. Great to speaking to you.
The great Kenny Rainford from the UK, folks. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You're inside looking to the world of boxing and MMA. I can fit in a toll-free phone call if you'd like. 1-800-878-7529. That's 1-800-878-7529. Or get this, the guilt-free, no-commitment text line, 1-415-275-1613. That's 1-415-275-1613. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
My buddy Lenny Williams, of course, the former lead singer of Tower of Power, did a concert a couple of weeks ago, a virtual concert. You can check it out, LennyWilliams.com. It was rocking and rolling, man. Lenny still got it going on. That voice is just, it's Lenny's. Lenny's the godfather, the reigning godfather of soul, one of them, no doubt about that. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You're inside looking to the world of boxing, MMA. You know, back in 1968, Muhammad Ali wasn't boxing. The reason why he wasn't boxing is the government stepped in and said, you know what, you can't be champion because you don't want to go fight for us in Vietnam, or you don't want to represent the United States and go around the world and do exhibitions and that kind of good stuff. In other words, they wanted Ali to lead other young men to slaughter. Remember, 58,000 people died in Vietnam. So Ali said, nah, I'm not going to deal with this. I'm a conscientious objector. I do not want to go to war. There's no way about it. So anyway, in this hiatus from boxing, of course, he talked about what he was going to do if he got his championship back. But he spent some time with the only man he ever really loved. I'm talking about Howard Cosell. Here's Ali and Cosell from 1968.
A year ago this month, at 4800 San Jacinto in Houston, Texas, this man refused to take a step. For the past year, he's been virtually incarcerated in this country. He's undergone all of this for the obvious reason that he didn't have the courage to fight such as Joe Frazier, Jerry Quarry, and Jimmy Ellis.
Why would you say that? I didn't have the courage to fight Joe Frazier and Jimmy Ellis and Jerry Quarry. I mean, why would you say that? I mean, you know, I've never showed no fear of nobody. And why would you, as many times as you have came to my fights, knowing you had money bet on other people, I beat them. I mean, why would you, seriously, I mean, why would you sit here on television and talk about me being afraid of Jerry Quarry or Joe Frazier? I mean, that's wrong. I mean, we just don't get along no kind of way.
And you've been spreading that kind of gospel at every college campus
every
in this country.
That I go to, every college that I go to, everybody asks me about Howard Cosell. Why is it that you and Howard Cosell can't get along? And my answer is, we just don't get along. I mean, you just talk a lot of stuff that don't make sense. I mean, why would you open up the show and you told me you would ask me a few nice questions. Why would you open up the show talking about I'm afraid of Joe Frazier and Jerry Quarry? You really believe that they have a chance against me?
Well, I think
you come to all of my fights. You follow me all over the world, Germany, London, Canada, and why? And you, I've see you at ringside talking about these homemade champions. Now, do you really believe they could beat me?
I'll answer that question in a moment. I first want to document your record. You were troubled by a less than mediocre southpaw named Mildenberger in Germany.
Well,
you showed me nothing against Shavallo, relying upon the fact that he gave you water on the knees with low blow upon.
You've never seen me hurt a beat. What you mean I didn't show you nothing? that's the kind of appreciation I get from you coming all over the world. The company wouldn't pay your way to these countries for nothing. If I wasn't fighting so regular, you wouldn't have gotten to see the world. And now you're going to down me because I'm not fighting and talk about I got trouble with these boys. I beat those boys easy.
Now, wait a minute. This marvelous wristwatch. What were you frightened of? I wasn't going to hit you. Why did you move?
I mean, why would you jump over here?
Because I want the people to see the wristwatch that you bought in Frankfurt, West Germany.
Yeah.
Only because... I found the person who'd sell it to you more cheaply than anybody else in the whole country.
Well, for once you... But, well, after all, I mean, what's you getting me a deal on a watch? If it wasn't for me, you wouldn't have got to see Germany.
All right. My record is clear.
I will shuffle again. Don't you worry. You get your homemade champions ready and line them all up. I'll be watching the television with you at ringside, popping off about how hard he hits and this and that. You let Ellis and Quarry fight it out and then let Joe Frazier meet the one or whoever the homemade champion is, may say the Mickey Mouse title. I have a belt at home. It says World Heavyweight Champion. And for a man to be the champion, he's going to have to take my belt. And the day that he meet me, and if he beat me, I'm going to hand him my belt. And I want you to be the announcer that night because I want to see you quiet. I want to quiet you at once and for all.
Ah, you son of a gun, you've had enough fun with me. You know that the one guy who has persistently maintained that there is one heavyweight champion in this world is Howard Cosell. And I have said repeatedly that
you're
you could beat all
you're
of these
right, but
guys.
You make a lot of cracks. I mean, you just said I had a lot of trouble with these boys, and you're talking about me getting out of boxing in time to duck Frazier and this and that, and I don't know what you're going to do.
Mm-hmm. You don't look as broke as you're supposed to be.
No, what you mean, bro?
Everybody says you're broke. You got no money. You gave it all to Elijah Muhammad.
No, how could I give it to Elijah Muhammad? I mean, the government, the American government, took 90% of all of my money before I got it. You know, the Louisville Sponsoring Group had that deal called the Joe Louis Tax Law.
The fact of the matter is, the thing you've missed most over the past year were the steady vocal sparring sessions that we enjoyed on Wide World of Sports.
Well, we had a lot of fun, but let's let the other boys have a chance and build some more contenders after beating Zoe Foley. You know, no one was left for me to fight. So I think even if I was still fighting, it would have been good for me to step aside for 2 years and let them fight it out to see who deserves the honor to fight me.
It's been fun. We've missed it.
Well, things make it better soon.
One more shuffle.
Well, if I do the shuffle, you might have to scuffle.
We've done that, Joe. Good luck to you.
Thank you.
God, you could just feel the love between those two guys, couldn't you? I remember the 50th Ali birthday party. Muhammad Ali turned 50, and Howard Cosell was in tears. But, you know, when I went to Press Cosell, I saw him a couple times here in San Francisco. We had a fight at the Cal Palace, and I think one at the Civic Auditorium. When I pressed him a couple times, he was always he wasn't in a jerk. I mean, people thought he comes off as a real clown on TV, but he was real proper with me without doubt. And I miss Howard Cosell. Of course, I miss Ali as well. Of course, may they both rest in peace. Now, of course, the World Welterweight Championship about to go down next week, or a version of one. Of course, talk about Errol Spence, of course, 26 and zip, except for that car wreck. Maybe he still is undefeated, 27 and zip. But the bottom line is he's got 26 professional fights, hasn't come close to losing any of them. Of course, fights out of Dallas, Texas, a left-hander, a tall range guy that steps into the ring, probably about 160, 162 pounds. Then you have Terrence Crawford, the kid from Omaha, Nebraska, of course, a southpaw, 37-0. Both guys are southpaws. He can fight orthodox as well. 37-0, but of those 37 guys, he really hasn't fought too many guys. Of course, then we've got Manny Pacquiao. Yeah, 41 years old, ranked number 3 by Top Box Rec at 147 pounds. He is a WBA champion, 62-7, a couple of draws, of course, coming to us from the Philippines. Now he's a senator, but the bottom line is sooner or later he's going to be president. Then Keith Thurman, Sean Porter. I guess Sean Porter's a guy we should really mention there. Sean Porter's like 31-3. And then, of course, Mikey Garcia. I really don't consider Mikey Garcia much of the mix at 147, maybe at 140. Because at 140, I think, is where Manny Pacquiao needs to go. I really do. Because at 147, yikes, all those three fights there, he gets hurt. I mean, he gets really hurt. I mean, these guys are much, much bigger guys. At 140 pounds, maybe you can go back to 140 and get Teofimo Lopez to come up from 135 to meet him at 140, maybe do some type of super fight like that. But, you know, last week I was trying to plead my case to Larry Merchant, and Larry said to me, I said, you know, I really don't want to see Manny Pacquiao go out on his shield. And I said the same thing to Hector Martinez, my good friend. I said, I don't want to see Manny go out, laid out. I don't want to see another Ali Holmes. I just don't want to see that. I don't want to see old guys, like, destroyed. I don't want to see that, especially with Manny Pacquiao, because of the future that he possesses. He's going to be the Filipino president. You really don't need to see too many films of him being laid out. I mean, he got laid out by his nemesis, but outside of that, you know, he's been an invincible star. He really has. Every time he's won these big fights, most of the time, I've picked against him. Why? Of course, because he keeps moving up the weight. I keep saying to myself, size matters in two things. Pornography and combat sports, but not with Manny Pacquiao. But he's moved back to 140 pounds. He could take on guys like Jose Carlos Ramirez. Not too much. 26-0, of course, coming to us from down there, Fresno, California. Jose Cepeda is a second-ranked guy. And there's no real names there. But Josh Taylor. Let me tell you about Josh Taylor. 17 and zip. He looks like he might be the real deal. The dark horse at 140 pounds. I mean, I'm really excited about this guy. He can fight. He beat Regis Progress, of course, over a decision, a majority decision over 12 rounds, but he beat him. There was absolutely no doubt about it. Progress came into that fight like a 3 or 4-1 favorite. And before that, he beat Ivan Baranchuk. Of course, Baranchuk just in a fight of the year recently in the last couple of months, but he can fight as well. He beat him over 12 rounds. He's beaten some good guys. I think he is the guy. I do. I think he's, I mean, at 140 pounds, Josh Taylor, I think, is the king. Okay, I think he's got one of the IBF belt or the WBA Super World Lightweight belt, the International Better Boxing. He's got the IBF belt and the WBA belt. Okay, so he's got a couple of belts. But at 140, Manny go back to him, and they can make some money because Manny Pacquiao draws here in the United States, and he draws in the Philippines and Asia. And then we could have Josh Taylor drawing drawing his people from the UK. So you can make a multi-million dollar pay-per-view fighting in front of nobody, fighting in front of 10 people, because the TV audience is where this money is going to be, okay, and make a zillion dollars. They just can. And Manny wouldn't be fighting some guys that are so big they're going to destroy him. I mean, you know, I know he beat Keith Thurman, but Keith Thurman smokes more weed than a lot of people I know, including myself. Okay, that's just a fact. There's no doubt about that. So Keith Thurman, maybe put that out of the way. Yeah, but he beat some other guys at 147 that he wasn't supposed to beat. But you don't keep Marcos Medina. You don't keep pushing. You don't keep rolling the dice. Not when guys are bigger than you, because eventually it's going to come back. It's going to bite you in the ass. And I think if Manny Pacquiao were to fight either Terrence Crawford or Errol Spence, I think it would be a bit of a size mismatch, even though some people say styles make fights, and the fact that Pacquiao's a left-hander and he's got that quick move, the right jab and the jump in with the left cross, of course, that was his money punch. Remember he did that? He did it to Marco Antonio Barrera. When he knocked out Barrera, of course, when he beat the snot out of Marco Antonio Barrera in that big upset, and when he moved up to 126 pounds, nobody thought he could do it. All he had that night was the left cross. Of course, the left cross, the left cross, the left cross, the money punch. He would tease people with his right hand and throw the left hand and get in a score with that. Of course, since then, he's developed an arsenal, a full arsenal. Manny goes to the body. Manny can throw the right hook. Manny is a complete fighter, thanks in a great part to the Hall of Famer himself, and he should be in the Hall of Fame, Freddie Roach. People say to me, Freddie Roach is overrated. Freddie Roach is not overrated. Freddie Roach took a guy that was fighting like at 112 pounds, and he got him to win championships at 122, 126, 130, 135 pounds. I mean, even if he fought girls or fought schmoes or fought bums on all those weight classes, eventually you would think that size would catch up to him. But guess what? It never caught up to him. Manny Pacquiao is I think he's really the king of boxing. I really do. I mean, Canelo may be able to draw more because he's got the Mexican blood. Of course, the Mexicans love that pay-per-view. In fact, if you think about pay-per-view, it's all been about the Mexican pay-per-view fan. As far as boxing is concerned, and wrestling to an extent, and MMA, I remember when Steven Espinoza was doing Bellator MMA on Showtime, that he told me that the the percentage of Latinos watching MMA was higher than the percentage of Latinos watching boxing. Although the numbers was larger of people watching boxing, Latinos watching boxing, the percentage-wise was higher on Showtime's Bellator MMA. So that's interesting. You got the Latino population, of course, back in MMA now. I don't think so. Not enough Latinos in MMA. I mean, you've got guys from Brazil, but they really don't gel much with Mexicans. I'm sorry about that, but we need a Mexican MMA star if you want to do something in the UFC. Of course, there was Cain Velasquez, the Mexican-American star who disrespected not only Mexico, but himself. He ate himself out of contention, went down there, was hanging out on the taco trucks down there in Sunnyvale and San Jose, of course. Then he went down to Mexico City, fought in the high altitude, and he got lit up like the White House Christmas tree. That's what happened. Fought in 11,000 feet, got gassed in a couple of minutes, he was done. Fabrice Verdum lit him up. Straight up, Cain was the last Mexican-American star per se. Jorge Masvidal, really not a superstar, a star, but not a superstar. You're tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Upcoming boxing, The Zone, DAZN. Yeah, I still got it. Billy Joe Saunders, undefeated, of course, the former WBO 160 and now 168-pound champion. Taking on Martin Murray of the UK. Kenny Murray says Martin Murray has little or no chance, or maybe slim left town, that kind of good stuff. Bottom line is December 5th, of course, pay-per-view. Earl Spence, undefeated now. Good fighter, no doubt about that. Aforementioned Dallas, Texas, taking on Danny Garcia of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Garcia's a light welterweight, moving up to welterweight. He's a guy that's never extended himself in a fight. In other words, he's never put himself at risk, ever. He's always a safety-first type of guy. He never wants to close the show. That's the problem with Danny Garcia, especially when he gets into bigger fights with bigger guys. And when he fights bigger guys, I mean, he's a little bit more cautious than he needs to be if he wants to win. In other words, Danny's got some money. Danny's got his senses still. Danny doesn't want to lose that. And Danny's going to be the point where you can't count your money, okay? And a lot of guys, you can't believe it or not, but the residual effects from professional boxing sometimes in MMA, They're nasty and they're ugly. Anyway, Danny Garcia looking to step up from 140 to 147 pounds to be successful against Errol Spence December 5th on Showtime. Good luck with that. Of course, the UFC going to come back with a card on the 5th as well. That's going to be on ESPN. I think Jake Hermanson's in the main event. Looks like, Max Holloway is going to come back on ESPN as well. That's going to be January 16th, UFC Fight Night. They don't know where this is going to be. I think it's either going to be in Dubai or the Apex Center in Las Vegas, Nevada. No big fights as far as the UFC is concerned. They were talking about maybe putting Conor McGregor in with somebody, but then they pulled it from the schedule. It was scheduled, then it wasn't. Now it's back. Conor McGregor and Dustin Poirier are supposed to go again January 23rd, 2021, if anybody wants to see it. Of course, Conor's big claim to fame is ripping everybody off with that Floyd Mayweather fight. He did. I mean, here's an MMA guy fighting a boxer. Sort of like a painter going up against a plumber. Think about that. A painter versus a plumber, and they're working on pipes. That's basically what went on there as far as Conor McGregor and Floyd Mayweather. Another sting. Speaking of sting, the Tyson-Roy Jones sting is over. If you got stung for $49.95, what can I say? I hope you enjoyed it. Straight up, it was a ripoff. It was a sting. But they're going to do it again and again. They're going to do it until you stop paying for it. Bottom line is, you keep paying for it, they'll keep doing it. There's a sucker born every minute. Who said that? No, not Pedro Fernandez, P.T. Varner. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, a production of the Sports Byline Broadcast Network. The executive producer is Scott Cuddy. Of course, you can hear us 24/7 at anchor.fm. That's anchor.fm for the Ring Talk Live Worldwide podcast. Till next time, peace, love, and much respect.